Welcome in to Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here, and it is a yearly tradition like no other. We are joined by the crew of Knicks Film School, Jonathan Macri and Jeremy Cohen, and a little bit of Andrew Claudio, producer extraordinaire, to get into our bold predictions for the 2022-23 season, third year running that we're doing this particular episode. We start off revisiting our old ones, which is a painful experience, Gavin, but then get into our other newer picks.
Yeah, feel free to just skip that first segment. It doesn't reflect well on me and Alex relative to John and Jeremy, who did a lot better than us, but I'm convinced this year we have it. First, Alex and I debate. We go at each other's throats on Quentin Grimes versus Evan Fournier, and then Jeremy Cohen comes in and tells us why the Knicks pace might not be quite as fast as you think. All that and more right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts without a five. Ewing for the win. Yes!
Up, puck left. Now fires it.
He's good! And he's fouled!
Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes down.
This is all about. Back up off the glass. It's good.
Becomes infectious.
All right, welcome in to Locked On Knicks. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. I am Alex Wolf. I'm editor-in-chief of Knicks site, The Strickland, which you can find at thestrick.land. He is Gavin Shaw, your favorite play-by-play broadcaster's favorite play-by-play broadcaster. And we wanted to thank you guys for making Locked On Knicks your first listen today and every day. Whether you're checking us out on your favorite podcast platform or taking in the sights and sounds on YouTube, we appreciate you making us part of your daily routine. There's also a chance this is your second listen of today. You don't necessarily have to listen to these things in order. However, the technical part one of this podcast is on the Knicks Film School feed today, which you could check out. They are also on YouTube or on your favorite podcast platforms. And then this is technically part two of three because we do little shorter episodes here. And so we split our part into two parts here on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. So definitely check that out. I won't hold this up anymore. We have Jonathan Macri and Jeremy Cohen, two of our favorite people in all of Knicksdom, here to break down our bold predictions and continue this thing on. But first, as we said, we have to do the very painful exercise of listening to our picks from last year. So we'll do that first, and then get into the second half of this year's picks.
By the way, guys, do you want to know what your predictions were last year when we did this crossover?
No.
It's not going to be good for me.
I love this sort of stuff because we're all stupid, man. I'm okay with saying
I remember I had someone, I had one that was decently acceptable. I don't know about the rest.
Jeremy, you'll be fine. I'm telling you right now, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Gavin, I love you. You might want to buckle up.
I was in a bad headspace when we did it. It wasn't good.
Yeah. I also say, Alex, I love you. You also might want to buckle up. John also technically on the money with one of them.
Oh, wow. Locked On Knicks crush. This is propaganda.
Listen, I'm just reading the predictions.
It's called bold predictions, isn't it? Bold.
That's right. Not mildly bold and somewhat safe predictions. So we'll start with Locked On Knicks. So Alex, your first one was that the Knicks will have representation in every All-Star Weekend event. Now, Obi did win the dunk contest, so that's not completely wrong. Not only did they have
Fournier probably should have been in the three-point contest, right? Like,
Brady, the hedging.
So the worst part about this prediction is you said Julius would make an All-Star team, possibly also Kemba. Yeah, that's
at
where
the time we were.
It was bold.
Easy to
it
believe,
was bold.
All right.
Listen, there's more on Kemba coming.
Did he miss it last year? I totally
did. He missed the All Star. I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot.
Was he on the team after the All Star game? He missed literally everything, the All Star game, and then the rest of the season. And then Alex also had Kemba will average a career high in assists. It was 6.5. He did not reach that last season. I didn't look it up. I just know he did not reach 6.5 assists last season. Keeping with the theme, you two have been podcasting for a long time together, apparently, because your bold prediction last year, your third one, was that Mitch will get Defensive Player of the Year votes and end up on the second team all defense.
Oh,
was that,
wow.
That was my prediction.
That was your prediction last year.
I was really scared. I was like, that's not good.
Look at us.
Locked in, literally locked in.
Same brain. let's stay with Locked On Knicks. So Gavin, your first one, is that the Knicks will finish with a top 7 offense per 100 possessions, and that 5 players will average. The way they'll do it is that 5 players average 15 points a game.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I blacked out last year. That was wrong.
That was wrong. So RJ did. Randall did. Did anybody else average 15 points a game? I forget. Or were you actually wondered per 36? Did the Knicks have 5 guys do it? Regardless, it didn't happen. The other thing you did, which actually the logic and the reasoning was sound, is that the Knicks will finish top 3 in 3-pointers made. And you were like, they had all these guys that had averaged 40% or more from 3-point land. You add Evan Fournier to the mix, that number is only going to go up.
You would have thought.
Well, just Randall and RJ's 3-point shooting falling off a cliff is unfortunately part of the equation that, and also point guard Burks leading to higher usage as a result. Then the last one, IQ will double his assists per 36 minutes. Let me actually look this up because I'm not sure.
I don't think that one aged that badly. I'm not sure if he got there, but I think he maybe came.
So Emmanuel Quickly, his rookie season. Oh, you were close. His rookie season averaged 3.7 assists per 36. He averaged 5.5. So he did go up.
Yeah. 50%. You know? I was halfway there. That's not a win. I'll count that as a win relative to the other ones.
I mean,
relative to the other ones.
This top 7 offense from this team was unfortunate. Let's go to Jeremy, who the Knicks will be a top 5. Knicks will be top 5 in assist turnover ratio, which will lead to a top 12 offense. Well, neither of those happened. Yes. Marcus Aurelius. I'll go to your third one because the second one kind of scared me when I saw how accurate it was. Actually, Jeremy, you nailed this. So the third one, Grimes will enter the rotation at some point and will play. His play will keep him there.
Good job.
Jeremy nailed
very
it.
Well done.
I feel like I also said it was going to be before the All-Star or like
you
before
said
the
deadline. It will be because of injury and then it will stay there. He will stay there. COVID whether it was
counted. Yeah.
COVID does count. Yes. And Derrick Rose's surgery. And then the Knicks, you did get the player wrong who they traded for. You said Terrence Ross, but you said the Knicks big deadline move. Well, they will be trading Kevin Knox in some capacity.
That would, I mean, listen, I'll take the easy W, but we all could have seen that one coming.
Can I predict they're going to trade Cam Reddish on this episode?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Right. Well, John, Kemba will average a career low in minutes per game.
Yay.
Yeah. the Knicks will extend Mitch at some point, which they did. Although, no, they didn't.
They signed him, so you got that.
You were so wrong, John. Why
he entered unrestricted free agency.
You idiot.
Yeah, dumb, almost big, as bad as saying they'd have a top 7 offense.
Yeah, you big dummy. And then, so let me go pull it up again because you had an Obi take, which
oh god,
oh yeah, that was the like per 36.
Oh, the per 36.
That was a really good one. Yeah,
it was a good one, but you would have needed a different head coach. So Obi will average per 36, 18 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game. 1 steal per game, and then you went, and the big one is 2 blocks per game. Obi last season per
I'm looking
36,
it up right now because I don't want you to pull any chicanery.
Okay, it's 19 points per game.
So I got that one right.
You got that one. Everything else is under. 7.8 rebounds per game. So
what did I say?
9.
It's pretty close.
2.3 assists per game. So that's close. It's, you said three, less than a steal. So 0.7, but you said one. So it's closer to one than it is to zero.
I missed on the blocks big time.
Blocks, just you averaged one. You said two. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, listen,
when he gets all these minutes at the five this year, then he'll be able to get it.
That's been my big argument the last couple weeks on the pod is that Obi needs to get, like, they can do Julius and Obi because Obi looks better at defending the rim during the preseason.
And so our big argument, John is convinced it's going to happen. I'm convinced it's not ever.
You can argue pretty easily that Obi had the best. Actually, I don't even think it's close. He had the best per 36 numbers of anybody on the team when you factor in efficiency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
I'll take
a mini victory lap on that.
Obi was better than the year before, which is how you opened the predictions, that you were much high. You're very high on Obi and you're predicting all of these things. You also, the company that he was in for those predictions was like only Anthony Davis.
Yes.
And these other players were, these other all-stars were in that. So there you go.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back in with John and Jeremy, the Evan Fournier versus Quentin Grimes debate, and then getting into Jeremy's bold prediction about pace for this coming season and why it might not be as great as you think. Jeremy does not respect the board at the practice facility. But this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. And, you know, tonight, how would you like it if you could take RJ Barrett's points and pick a number of that, pick Julius Randle's rebounds, pick Mitchell Robinson's blocks, and Jalen Brunson's assists, only play against you versus the odds, and win money by doing so? I think that sounds pretty awesome. That's where Prize Picks comes in. How does it work? You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available, which is great for people like me that didn't really enjoy when I was playing some of those other daily fantasy games against other people who had paid services and 5,000 entries and everything else made it impossible for me to ever win on a daily fantasy entry. Just you versus the projections. And they offer projections on any sport that you watch. That includes the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. I don't know what else more there could be, but there are more, allegedly. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It really is that easy. They offer safe and fast withdrawals, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. And you could do multi-sport entries, too. So if you want to, you know, maybe pick Breece Hall over 100 yards rushing and RJ Barrett over 24 points or 24 and a half points or whatever in any given night, you can do that. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code locked on. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code locked on at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, as promised, we are joined by the two hosts of the Knicks Film School podcast, Jonathan Macri and Jeremy Cohen. How you guys doing? You ready to continue, as we said in our intro, to continue with our bold predictions here after we, of course, started the proceedings over on the KFS channel and are now concluding here on the Locked On Knicks channel.
I'm ready to keep dominating, Alex. Yes.
Ready to keep dominating. Yeah. Yeah. A little inside baseball. When we recorded this, we hadn't had our predictions written down from last year. So we recorded the KFS part and then Claudio read us all of our ones from last year and they were not pretty. And we really got smoked Locked On Knicks. So we're coming fresh on the heels of getting absolutely annihilated in last year's predictions, where Jeremy and Macri were like surprisingly spot on, and Gavin and I were like talking about Mitch defensive player of the year votes and the Knicks being a top 7 offense. So this is redemption time right here.
Yeah, you could almost say we're the Mets of this podcast.
Shut up, Gavin. All right. And you know what? You get to go first now. It's going to be you and me leading off. But yeah, you know, just like, you know, Nimmo leads off for the Mets, you can lead us off.
I was going to say this. The first one I have, Alex, is very bad to some. Well, or it could be good to some extent for us recovering next year, because our first two are in stark disagreement to one another. So at least one of us will be very wrong. But on the bright side, it's guaranteed that we both of us won't be very wrong like we were last year. So there's some upside there. I'll keep it short and sweet. This is just a bet on a player breaking out. It's an extension, actually, if you check out the other video we posted, which does some of those predictions last year. It's an extension of what Jeremy had going last year. And that's, I believe in Quentin Grimes. It's really as simple as that. I think he starts over 50 games this year when it's all said and done. I think he averages over, I probably should have done this per 36, and maybe I'm getting over my skis again, putting out points per game, but I'll do it anyways. Over 14 points, over 4 rebounds, and over 3 assists in those games. He's off to a bad start in that he has a foot injury. And I always get queasy when I hear foot injury with any big guard wing, anyone in the NBA, really. It usually doesn't have a good ending, but hopefully it really is nothing. Hopefully it is just soreness, because I think he is special to an extent that, as much as Tibbs will lean towards the veteran, and as much as Evan Fournier, I think, was unfairly maligned last year and is a very good NBA player, I think Quentin Grimes is just going to be too good to not play significant minutes on this team this year. His defensive production relative to Fournier is going to be too much to ignore. We saw it in the limited minutes in the one preseason game he got, but the pop he has on the ball and his ability to throw really slick interior passes that I think will be key to get Mitchell Robinson going. And we saw some chemistry between those two last year. I think that will be necessary in this starting lineup. And I just think he makes too much sense next to the other guys. Not to say Fournier isn't a good fit on the offensive side of the ball, but I think ultimately Grimes, especially with how far out he spaces on his threes, is going to be the best option there. So I think he plays a lot. I think he's a full-on, if not quite Desmond Bane-esque breakout season, just 10 to 15% short of that. So I think he's going to be spectacular. I'll leave it to the floor. Who wants to tell me I'm right or wrong?
Well, you know what? I may as well let's do this debate club.
Yeah, let's go off. Yeah.
Because mine, as you said, is a direct contradiction. So then we'll toss it to our esteemed guests here and let them duke it out on our behalf, so we can't look bad no matter what. So this is my second prediction, bold prediction for the season, is that Evan Fournier will start any game that he's healthy and will actually look pretty good doing it. And then I realized that everybody always loves to throw stats out there. So I said, you know, he won't break the 3-point record again. He'll shoot like 41% on slightly lower volume from three, and look really good with that. I'll throw out there now too, that he'll have more assists per game than he did last year. Because I really loved the looks that he was getting in that final preseason game. I guess this is me hoping that those looks are a foretelling of things to come, in the sense that they had him running like side actions with Mitchell Robinson. And I mean, you want to talk about good chemistry with Mitch, like Fournier, I think, is really good chemistry with Mitch. He also has great chemistry with Sims. Like, he's just really good with feeding big men on the inside. Like Sims, for as green as he was last year, like Fournier laced a lot of passes right down low for him when he like just managed to seal his man off and managed to get a pass into him, and then, you know, give Sims easy buckets last year. Mitch is definitely better than Sims at this stage, especially with regards to finishing right around the hoop. If they run those side actions and have in some order Brunson, Randall and RJ spacing the floor on the other side of the floor with their abilities to break down the defense from there too, I think that's just, that's like pure money for me, like on offense. And yes, Grimes does not offer Grimes offers more on defense, obviously, than Fournier does. But even for as much as we saw from Grimes, like in summer league, of him being able to put the ball on the floor, certainly more than like Reggie Bullock or something, I don't think he's quite on Fournier's level yet as far as running pick and rolls and stuff like that. And for that reason, plus the coach, which we can't forget about, like if this team is playing somewhat well and it's a Tibbs coach team, he's going to keep going to the veterans. And I think that means Fournier, as long as he's healthy, just like last year, will start games. And I won't have a big deal with it if, you know, if things go like they did in that final preseason game and like they did for parts of this preseason. But we've talked long enough. I'll throw it to you, Macri.
I'll split the baby. I agree with you, Alex. Fournier starts whenever he's healthy and it's going to last the whole year. But Gavin, I'll give you this. I think Grimes, I don't want to say he's going to close more games than Fournier, but I think the games that they close will be within, you know, 10 games of one another. So whether it's, you know, Grimes closes 45 games and Fournier closes 35 or vice versa, or maybe the total that the two of them close doesn't add up to 82 games because some other guys, maybe Emmanuel quickly closes games, yeah, like, you know, or whatever else. I think Grimes is going to be really good. And I think he is really good. To the Tibbs point, I think Tibbs is going to coach. I think he's going to play whoever he thinks gives him the best chance to win every game. And I think he will think that Fournier in the starting lineup with the slightly more advanced and more diverse offensive, I don't want to say more diverse because Grimes has showed a lot. He showed a lot in summer league, but showing a lot in summer league is a lot different than showing a lot in the different situations that Fournier has shown over the course of his career, whether it be in the international play or Orlando or whatever else. So that's why I think Fournier is, and the big point I'll make, and then I'll turn it over to you, Jeremy, is I think, and again, this goes to what the prediction or what I talked about as far as Mitch goes on our half of the episode. I think the defense is going to be really good. I think the starting defense in particular is going to be really good. So I don't think Fournier is going to be any sort of liability to the point where it's like, oh, you know, he's a clear weak spot, because I just don't see that happening. Maybe I'll be wrong, but yeah.
I'm going to go with Gavin on this one.
Let's go.
Wow. So
it feels to me as though it's not that Tibbs wants to start Fournier. It's more that he doesn't really have much of a choice right now. Grimes is injured. You know, like from the beginning, he said Fournier appears to be the front runner, which seems accurate, but also it seemed that with Grimes having a boot in practice not too long after, that perhaps there was more knowledge at that moment that Tibbs had that we did not have. And so he was thinking about the injury factor. He waxes poetic about Grimes. There are tons of quotes that convey that and have just in this preseason. And it's not that he doesn't like Fournier. It's just that there is a clear-cut role at the two that Tibbs loves. And it's that Reggie Bullock type archetype of a guy who's very much of an off-ball, spot-up, catch-and-shoot three player who knows how to defend his ass off. And that's not what Evan Fournier is. And I think there's a reason why Tibbs really wanted Bullock to stay. It was because he feels comfortable in that. Even if it's not like a great player, Bullock, even if he wasn't, it was still just he leans into that mold. And I think that's where Grimes comes into play. And how if Grimes had been healthy enough, he would have seen more minutes, but he wasn't. And I think that the organization also wants Grimes to see more time because they know that Brunson was their marquee signing. And they know that Brunson is not known for his defense. And how do you find a way to mitigate the defense of Brunson by pairing him with someone who can handle the point of attack? And that's not who Evan Fournier is. And so it's not that it's not like it's his job to lose per se. I think it's just Grimes' job to win it from him. And I think that when healthy, Grimes will have the opportunity to come back and do this. The reason I feel confident about that, well, just look at last year's prediction that I had. Last year's Jeremy knew what he was talking about with Quentin Grimes. So this year's Jeremy clearly knows what he's talking about now. But again, I think based on what Tibbs likes offensively, he's going to find that Grimes next to Brunson when healthy is the ideal position, and they'll eventually change. And one more thing, actually, if you look at last year's starting rotation, what the Knicks worked with, it wasn't like they had that five and they just settled on it. They tinkered with it a lot. And when you look at the starting five, RJ's not going anywhere. Brunson's not going anywhere. Randall's not going anywhere in terms of health moving out of the starting lineup. So it's Mitch and it's Fournier. And I don't see Mitchell Robinson going anywhere for Isaiah Hartenstein unless Hartenstein is that much better. And the reason Mitch also was pulled from the starting five last year was because he had been out. He looked winded. His endurance was not where it needed to be. That is clearly not the case from what we've seen in preseason. So if there's a player to tinker with and everyone's healthy, to me, there's one odd man out, and it's Evan Fournier.
I will. My final point on this is I think there will, if not be a mandate from the front office to do this, there will be pressure from the front office to justify not including these young guys in the Donovan Mitchell trade. And Grimes was the lead name in that. And the name that we heard over and over again is untouchable. Our guy, Mark Berman, who knows the accuracy of this, but came out at different points and said that he was more untouchable than RJ Barrett was in these discussions. And I think that conversation, I mean, Danny Ainge just being a jerk aside, was a wake-up call for them in that, hey, our young players are not being perceived around the NBA the way we think they should be. And to the extent that we think they are really, really good, that needs to change dramatically this year. And you go through this whole season and none of those three guys start more than half the games, which obviously right now none of them are slated to. I can't help but feel that's a bad look. And I know we heard from Leon Rose that there's no mandate on Tom Thibodeau. I think unless this team is just fantastic to start this year, there will be a lot of pressure to play those guys and Grimes chief amongst them. And as Fournier, I think is the most logical fall guy for that because he is the one they are least invested in relative to obviously the point guard position with Quickly and the power forward position with Julius versus Obi.
I don't think they'll need to be fantastic. I think if they're good, which is to say, honestly, literally just if they are winning more games than they are losing, if they have an above 500 record, I think they'll let Tibbs do whatever Tibbs is going to do. I think if things start to fall apart, then but then Tibbs probably isn't going to be the coach anymore. So
but you and I, John, have talked about how difficult the schedule is earlier in the season, maybe not the first like five games or so, but then after that.
Yeah.
If they keep losing and Tibbs needs to find some sort of way to mix and match, wouldn't it seem on the surface that would be the logic?
Yeah, if they start like 6-14 or 7-13, which I don't think any of us think is going to happen, but yeah, if that happens, I could see Tibbs making a change. But at that point, I would imagine it has as much to do with seeking better results than any mandate.
Are we forgetting that this is the same guy that played? We just talked about this on the last episode. This guy played the literal worst five-man unit in the entire NBA, the most minutes in the NBA last season. Like,
he pulled the plug on it after 20 games.
Yeah,
went back to it because he literally didn't have another healthy
and then stuck with it for 3-4 weeks too long after that.
Yes,
for no reason. Once the team was even healthy again.
Yes.
They weren't the reasons we deem credible.
Yeah. There was pressure with Kemba there that I don't think will be there with Fournier, I guess. And I think Grimes is a better alternative than what they, I mean, that sounds weird to say about Quickly, who I love, but maybe just how they're currently perceived. I don't know. It's totally a fair point. I think Jeremy made maybe the best one when it's that Tibbs just likes the type of player that Grimes is. And like when we've seen his stubbornness in the past, it's been because he's committed to archetypes. Like he liked that Elfrid Payton could get to the rim. He liked that he was switchable on defense. Like Grimes fits into that archetype more than Fournier does. That would be the height of my argument. But Jeremy, as a reward for agreeing with me, I'll throw it to you to make the next prediction here.
No. Real quick.
Okay. Go off. Go ahead.
I got one last zinger. I just want to say all you guys with your lineup permutations and everything, this isn't fantasy basketball. Okay. I just need you to understand this isn't fantasy basketball. It's what works on the court. And if they're winning out there, you know, you got to play those guys. You got to play them.
I'm going to admit it. I only watched the preseason games once. Guilty.
How many times did you watch this?
I love
how many times did you watch the games? All right. You're not like Tibbs. You don't understand. Okay. This is fantasy basketball. I need a win here. No,
this is French basketball.
According to Julius, who just discovered that Euroball exists this year.
Have you guys seen the Euro Cup? This is great. It's so cool. It's before the Olympics, but it's after the World Cup. It's insane.
All right, also, Jeremy, go ahead.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to go at some point. I'm going to go.
Let's say give him credit. He's watching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After the games. Yeah. I'll give him credit for doing his job where he gets paid handsomely to coach. Yes. I'm going to call an audible. Originally, I knew that I did the assist to turnover last year. And I was thinking, damn it, I want to do it every single year until I'm right. But I'm stubborn, but not that stubborn. So I'm going to do something a little different. I am going to go in the opposite direction. Whereas a lot of it has been hype, this one's going to be a little bit more of a downer. I don't buy that the Knicks are going to be a team that really runs the pace up. I'd love to see them be a faster team. I just don't buy it. So I'm going to go with that they are a... Is it too tame to say that they're a bottom 10 team in terms of pace?
That's very... Considering they were 29th last year, I think that's pretty tame. Okay. Because they could be 21st, and that would represent a massive jump.
So I'm going to say they're still a bottom 5 team in pace.
That's pretty good.
Knowing that, you know, like, if we're talking about hotter takes than not, I'll say bottom 5. I do think there's an improvement there, but it's also the sort of thing where we've seen this every year where they've talked about, oh, the Knicks are, like Randall said, we're going to play faster. Tibbs saying we're going to play faster. And the benefit of having younger players is that they're younger and they can move faster. I just don't trust it. I don't. John, you mentioned that the team that the Knicks were 29th in pace last year, the team in 30th in pace, dead last, the Dallas Mavericks.
And they if according to NBA stats.com, they played slower when Jalen Brunson was in the game.
Yes, they did. Yep. I think the thing about Brunson is that he's incredibly crafty. He is great in the pick and roll. Transition, maybe not as much. And I really just, I don't buy that the Knicks are suddenly going to change their offensive identity in a way where everything is sped up dramatically. If you look at an incredibly small sample size of just preseason, you would see that the Knicks are 25th in pace. Granted, it's technically 24th, as the Adelaide 36ers do not play in the NBA. Although they did beat an NBA team in the Phoenix Suns. But so that's why I feel like they probably do finish closer to like the 21 to 25 range, but that's not what we're here for. We're here for the boulder of takes. So I'm gonna say they finish close to like 26th, where we see some minor improvements, but where they're really going to improve from is the efficiency, which is something that was my first point. Yeah. So I think they'll be a more methodical team. I think they'll take smarter shots. I think they'll take a lot of corner threes, but I don't think that they will. And I think they'll take a lot of shots at the basket. But I think most of that will be generated from pick and roll and just from smart basketball. I just don't see them running and gunning in a way that a lot of fans may want to see.
You know, Jeremy, we have a saying on Locked On Knicks, and it goes, respect the board, which is to say the board at the practice facility. And it doesn't feel like you're respecting the board with this take.
We have a whole cult around it.
Did the Knicks respect the board last year?
I don't remember what the board was last year.
I'm pretty sure Pace was.
I don't think they did either. That's why they didn't respect it.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add to that. I mean, I think you made a pretty compelling case. Like, where do you find Pace numbers from preseason?
Oh, it's NBA stats.
NBA stats.
Oh. Yeah, you can just.
I didn't even know that they had those up there. I looked for some other stats and they didn't have them yet. Anywho, yeah, I could see it. I mean, Brunson and Randall especially definitely do play more in that style. The one thing that I will say, which I was lauding all preseason, is I think Brunson, not necessarily with the ball in his hands, but with the ball out of his hands, was doing a really great job of pushing transition by just always floating to the corner and always being like the first man down the court. And it seemed like the team sort of liked that, you know, and we're pushing almost to like catch up to him in some cases. Obviously you also have Obi too, who by himself is like a one man transition demon that could potentially push your pace numbers up like almost by himself. So it depends on how many minutes he gets. Cause you know, there are going to be times like in that first Pacers game where he's going to get, you know, three dunks in 32 seconds because he, you know, just sprints down the floor every time. And that'll affect the pace numbers some. I think it's bold to say that they will be bottom five, which you said, which is what you ultimately settled on. I think they'll probably end up somewhere around 19th or 20th would be my guess, which would be fine because that's fast enough. As long as they're efficient, I think that's fine by me.
John, what do you think about this one?
I don't know much to add because I think Jeremy's right. I don't know if I'd go bottom five. I definitely think they're going to be bottom 10 because if you like, they will push the pace on certain possessions. Like we have seen them push the pace in the preseason on certain possessions. They did that last year occasionally. Like it wasn't all sloggy. Like the bench played somewhat fast. But in the NBA today, so many teams play so fast because that lends itself to their skill. And if the Knicks are going to remain a team that tries to win games based on defense, like playing fast, like just doesn't really jive with that. As you know, and then you consider the fact that like you have all these tanking teams that just have nothing to f-ing lose by running up and down the court. Like to get higher in the pace rankings is going to be hard. So I would say, I don't know if I agree. If I would say bottom five again, it wouldn't shock me in the least. I would definitely say bottom 10 again, though, or bottom 10 for this year.
Yeah, this is a boring one because we're all in agreement. I just think guys tend to fall back into their habits when they're veterans, and that's going to be true for both Brunson and Randall. Like with Randall, I'll believe it when I see it. He's been great in that capacity, like in terms of his throw-aheads, in terms of like there's one play where I did a double tick, and I was like, oh, is Obi in there? That guy's streaking down the court. I was like, no, that's Julius Randall running for the first time in 2 years, which was amazing. But to do that over and over again, night after night, after a summer of conditioning, that's when you should be doing it. I don't know if I see it from him consistently. I think Brunson is obviously at his best given his athleticism deficit and his the fact that he's one of the most skilled players on planet Earth operating in the half court and going slow and being methodical. Like I just think anything to the contrary is too against the nature of two of the three guys who are going to have the ball in their hands the most this season. So Jeremy, I'm in total agreement with you. Unless you have anything to add, John, I'd love to get your last bold prediction. All right, guys, this is a good news, bad news situation. The bad news is that is it for this episode of the Locked On Knicks podcast, and I know you are enjoying it. Here's the good news. If you missed part one, it's over on the Knicks Film School feed, so go type that into your YouTube and go check it out. The even better news, part three is also on the Locked On Knicks feed. That's right. It's a three-parter. We finish up our bold predictions. One more from Jonathan Macri, one more each from Alex and I, so stay tuned for that right now. On Locked On Knicks, if you just type in the next episode. But until then, be good. Talk to you soon. Peace out.